And I believe that God has answers for us. Yeah. And we're not just here today because of the Sunday thing.
Yeah.
Amen. Well, it's a Sunday thing to do, go to church. That's good to go to church. Mm-hmm. Amen. Mm-hmm. But it's more than that. It's receiving impartation from God that will literally change the course of our destiny. Amen. The essence of our heart and our vision that we have is to teach people how to live victoriously in this life, in your family, and in every single area of your life.
Yeah.
Everything we do, every message and everything that we do will center around that, learning how to live victoriously in this life. Amen. As you go back to the book of Revelation, you'll find that he addressed all the churches and he said, to he that overcometh, I will do this. And there's all these overcoming promises. Amen. And these are people that are on this earth now, like you and I.
Yeah.
And so there are definite rewards for us when we overcome in this life, not only in the sweet by and by in heaven, but on the here and now, right now. Praise God. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, we thank you today. May your Spirit guide us, direct us, speak through us today, Father. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, we've been talking about the battlefield for the last several weeks. This is part six, and I believe we're going to conclude here today. And again, I just encourage you to pick up the previous messages if you haven't already, because we can't go over, because of time's sake, you know, we can't go over everything that we covered. But they were very, really, really, really important things. Amen. Every week that I minister, I consider it the most important teaching I've ever shared. Every single week. Then I go to the following Sunday. I said, "Nope, this one is." You know, but they're all important. They're all important. Amen. And information can be vital, and it is vital for us in the last days. The right kind of information can help you immensely. Amen. The Bible talks about my people are destroyed in Hosea 4:6 for lack of knowledge. So when we lack knowledge, we're destroyed because of that. But praise God, we have knowledge from the Word of God that will help us to become overcomers in this life. All right? And so what I want to talk about in conclusion today is three things to remember when facing a battle of any kind. If you're taking notes, three things to remember when facing a battle of any kind. And the first point is this. If you're taking notes, even if you're not taking notes, amen, it's good to do that. Is to remember, number one, when you're facing a battle, the first thing that you need to remember is this. Now, how many of you have ever been in a battle even more recently? Some kind of a battle, okay? I'm not talking about physical battle, you know, you're on the war, on the battlefield or something like that. I'm talking about in life, okay? Dealing with situations in your life, and there's different battles that you face. The first thing that you need to remember is that you are not alone. Now, I didn't get that from E.T., okay, remember that was the...
Yeah.
Remember that you are not alone. There are other people. Listen, there are other people facing similar problems, almost exact problems, that have encountered the very thing that you're dealing with, but have overcome in that area. Okay? Now, in 1 Peter, you'll notice this. 1 Peter chapter 4, and verse 12 says this. The Apostle Pete said this, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you as though some strange thing were happening to you." You notice that? But rejoice, 13 says, "But rejoice inasmuch as you are partaking in the sufferings of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you shall be glad also with exceeding joy." Now, if you would bring up the New Living on that, okay. Oh, you already got it up there. Praise the Lord. It says this. It says, "Dear friends, don't be surprised at the fiery trials you are going through as if something strange were happening to you." All right? There's a tendency, and I call this being when you isolate things in your life and you think, wow. You feel like when you go through something, I don't know if I'm the only one that's ever had this happen to me, but when you go through something, sometimes there's a tendency for us to think, oh, man, does anybody understand what I'm going through? Listen, the fact of the matter is there have been other people, countless people, that have been in the same situation as you have been in, and God has brought them through, okay? So the enemy will try to make you think when you're going through something, all right, that you're isolated, that no one understands what you're going through. And that is a lie from the pit of hell. Amen. Go over to 1 Peter chapter 5. You're right there anyway. Just turn over one page to 1 Peter chapter 5. So we're talking about three things to remember when facing any battle of any kind in this life. Whether it be a physical challenge in your body, a relational issue, a job issue, a financial issue, whatever the case is, remember this, you are not alone. That's the first point. Now, Peter said, don't think it's strange, but notice here in chapter 5, verse 8, okay? Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil. Now, who's your adversary? Not your neighbor. Not your father-in-law, not your mother-in-law. You know what I mean? Not the guy that works next to you at work. You know what I'm saying? But it says right here, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist. Notice this, steadfast in the faith. You resist him in the faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So it's kind of saying the same thing. Don't be surprised as this unusual trial that you're going through is something unusual. You know, how many of you know if you face financial challenges, there are other people that are other believers that are in that situation just like you. And sometimes it helps to know that, okay? Because you realize you're not alone in this thing. Now, the beautiful thing about it is that any time that I've ever faced a trial, and I remember the Lord dealing with me about this some time ago when I was facing some unusual situations that I was up against, you know, like we all face from time to time. And I didn't hear it audibly. I heard it just inside me, like you hear the Lord inside you in your spirit. But the Lord, it was like the Lord was asking me a question. He said, son, do you think you're the only one that's ever gone through this? I said, out loud, I said, no, Lord. He said, there are countless people, you can't even count them, that have been in worse situations than you were, and they looked to me, and I delivered them.
Hallelujah.
And I'm telling you that to give you hope.
Hallelujah.
Praise God. See, that's why testimonies are so powerful. There's a right place and there's a right time for them. Amen? But the Bible says that we're to talk of His wondrous works. We're to talk about the things that He's done. Amen? And what testimonies do is that they inspire us, they encourage us to say, hey, we can do this, we can make this. Amen? And we can overcome. And that's why the testimonies are so powerful. Praise the Lord. But notice it says that in verse 9, we're to resist steadfast in the faith. That's resist the devil, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But verse 10 says, but the God of all grace, notice that, He's the God of all grace, after you have suffered a while. Notice that. Now, it's actually a better rendering of that word suffered would be the same word is used elsewhere. The Greek word is used elsewhere, and it means endured. Mm-hmm. Let's read it like that. But the God of all grace, who has called you unto His eternal glory by Jesus Christ, after you have endured for a while, mm-hmm. will make you perfect, established, strengthened, settle you. Now, there's not a person in this room that loves to go through tests and trials. You kidding me? You'd have to be insane to think, I just love tests and trials. Nobody likes going through a test and a trial. And in the last few months, there's been some people that have been through some stuff. Okay? That's not a word of knowledge. You can just see it. You can see it on people's faces. Amen? Been through some stuff. Okay? But the thing is, something happens when you stay steady during a test and a trial and you cling to God, you cling to the Word, you cling to the things of God, even in spite of it looks like an apparent defeat. The easiest thing to do is when we face tests and trials is to punt. Punt the ball and run. Are you with me? I don't want this. I'm tired of this test and this trial. But listen, something happens when you grit your teeth, so to speak, and you buckle down. You say, Lord, I don't totally understand everything that's going on, but I trust you in the midst of this. Okay? Now, God's not sending that test and that trial. The enemy's trying your faith. Okay? But, you know, you're going to come out stronger. You know, it's kind of like this. Anybody here ever joined a gym before? Okay. You know, here's a little side thought. You know, that the exercise places, the gyms that are around, all the different gyms, you know, they're going at it as if there's no end. And they really make a push around the new year with New Year's resolutions, you know, resolutions. And but if everybody, they know that there's always going to be a major percentage of people that will drop off.
That's right.
They just know the way people are. But if everybody that had a gym membership showed up, they would never have enough room. They would have to turn people away. You know what I'm trying to say? Because human nature is, you know, I'll try for all, there's some pain involved, you know. But let me just say this, that weights never made a person strong. You could walk into the greatest gym anywhere. You could walk into LA Fitness or any one of these gyms that are around here. And, man, you could have the most up-to-date sweatsuit, tennis shoes, the whole nine yards. Really look cool, you know, walk around. But it not do you any good. Because you have to resist. See, weights don't make a person strong. It's the resisting of the weight that makes a person strong. Okay? It's pushing that weight away. That's what makes you physically stronger, weight in your muscles, where that's concerned. Are you with me now? It's not the weight that makes you strong. It's resisting the weight that makes you strong. Now listen, it's not the test or the trial, this life, that make you strong. It crushes some people. It's meant to do that. Those tests and those trials that you and I face, they are meant to crush us, to put us under. But when we resist those things in faith with the Word of God, you become a stronger person. Amen? Amen? And when that pain hits your body and that sickness comes knocking on your door and you stand up and say, no. I resist that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, your body may not want to do that. Your feelings may not want to do that. But something happens when you do that. And you get up and the next day you're still hurting, but you resist. You resist that thing. Eventually, victory is going to come.
That's right. Amen.
Praise God. It's going to come. Amen? Ask me how I know. It is going to come.
Amen.
But after you've endured for a while, he's going to make you strengthened, settled, and establish you so that when something else comes knocking on your door, it's not going to be as big of a deal. Okay? Does that make sense? So the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. So again, our first point is this. When facing a battle, the first thing you need to remember is you are not in this thing alone. There are other people that have faced the same struggles, the same tests, the same trials that you're in even currently, and God delivered them from those situations. You ever read, I get different magazines from different ministries, and a lot of the magazines, they have a back section there where there are testimonials where people write in, you know, and it's all different types of testimonies. That's why we put them even on our website. And my desire was to have different testimonies of what God did for people in situations. I remember one time when we first started this church just a few years ago down at the other hotel, we were at the Spring Hill Suites when we started, and outgrew that place and moved here where we could house more. You know, we're ready for more increase here. We're ready for a bigger place. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. So we can hold more people to reach more people. Hallelujah. That's a good problem, isn't it?
Yes.
Bless the Lord. And but there was a mother and a son that came to the. They were staying at the hotel, and they were from New Jersey, and he was in a tennis tournament. Now, he was not favored to win. He barely made it into the competition. And it was in Pittsburgh, and so he came from New Jersey, he and his mother. Well, it wasn't starting until late afternoon on a Sunday while we were having church, and they happened to see the sign on the door there at the hotel. And they said, I think we're going to go to church. They were believers. They were Christians. And so now I didn't know any of this was going on until afterwards when she wrote me and told me. But she goes, we made a decision. We're going to go to the church that day. We're going to honor the Lord that morning. And so her and her teenage son, they came to the service, heard the word of God. They left. And he went out there, and do you know he actually won the entire competition that day? He was not favored to win. He was an underdog, major underdog. She says, we believe because we sought God that day. We came to church. We heard the word of God. And he said, we went out there, and he took number one in his position. Never done that before. And so she wrote me a letter. I didn't even know until after the fact, but she wrote me a letter from New Jersey. I got the letter, opened it up. She explained it to me. So I put it on our website. Amen. And that's a different type of testimony, isn't it? Yet we have other people that have been through, you know, been healed of cancer in our church services. Amen. Pray things like this, you know, miracles of divine provision where there was lack and there was a supernatural debt cancellation, you know. And so the reason we put those on there is to give people part of our vision, is to give people hope that whatever that they're facing in this life. See, a lot of people, they don't have hope. They don't think, I just have to put up with this for the rest of my life. I just have to endure this sickness. I have to endure this financial problem. I have to endure this relational problem. No, no. There is divine answers for people in those situations to help them get out of the muck and the mire. I used to be one of those people. I was in the muck. I was in the mire. I was on the ditch on the right and on the left. I was very familiar with ditch. Ditch was my worst friend. Okay? But God's word will get you out of the ditch. Amen. If you turn to it. Okay? You can't put it aside. You can't put God's presence and his word aside and try to do it in your own strength. It's not going to work. Amen? Here's another revelation. Are you ready? The Lord spoke to my heart some time ago. And I can tell you this from personal experience because I've been there and done that and know what it feels like. He said, son, when you feel frustrated, have you ever felt frustrated before?
Yes.
How many of you have been highly frustrated before?
Yes.
All right. He said, the Lord told me in my spirit, not an audible voice, but just in here. You have to say that that way sometimes because I don't want to give a false impression like Jesus appeared to me and told me this. No, he didn't. He spoke to me like he speaks to all of us in our spirits. And he said this. He said, son, the reason you're frustrated is because you're trying to do it in your own strength. I said, oh, Lord, that's been me. If anybody had majored in frustration at a college level, it was this boy right here. Okay? Now, such as I have, give I thee. I know some of the things I've gone through in my life. You know, I've been through a lot of different things in my life, you know. And some of them worse than others, you know. And, oh, you just, when you're going through it, it's a tough thing to go through. But I'll tell you, victory is sweet. It tastes sweet. It's better than dessert. And you get a taste of victory and what God can do in your life. Oh, my. It's wonderful. And so this gives people, testimonies give people an opportunity to see God's at work. He's not a dead God. He's alive. Amen? He didn't just do miracles in the New Testament and the Old Testament. He's doing miracles today for people like you and I because he loves us. Okay? So, we are to resist him steadfast in the faith. We talked about that in one of our other sessions. Number two, okay? Number two, and what was the first thing we said? Remember that you're not alone. This is when you're going through a test or a trial. Three things to remember when facing a battle of any kind. Number one, remember that you're not alone. Number two, ask the Lord for wisdom. Ask the Lord for wisdom. If you go to James, if you would, James chapter 1. I'd like to have you turn there. James chapter 1. And then we'll look at verses 1 through 8 here, okay? The second thing that we need to remember is this is so important, is that when you face any test or any trial in this life, is to remember to ask God for wisdom. Now, what we're about to read, and I want to kind of set the picture here, is James is writing to the 12 tribes that are scattered abroad. Notice that first verse. James, a servant of God, of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeting. Now that says a whole lot right there. Why are they scattered abroad? Persecution. Big time persecution. We're talking about taking people's lives for the gospel. All right? These forefathers, our spiritual forefathers, they paid a tremendous price for the freedoms that you and I have today. Just like America, you know, people tend to forget the past. They forget. I love American history because it's a picture of God in people's lives. I mean, you look at our forefathers. Do you know that 3/4 of the signers of the Declaration of the Independence were ordained ministers? Did you know that? That's a lot of people. Man, it's just our documents and so forth. If you go back and read those things, it's all filled with Scripture. It's awesome. God's the one that founded this country. Amen? See, the difference between us and Israel is God chose Israel, but we chose God. And that's why people were looking for religious freedom and so forth. And God visited this country. And that's why there's been a lot of blood shed for the liberties and the freedoms that you and I have today. Amen? How many of you here have ever served in the military? Raise your hand. Let's give them a hand clap. Amen. Now, this isn't Memorial Day or anything like that, but listen, we thank each and every person. You know, this right across the street, right over here is the Air Force, the 9/11th Division, you know, and right over here is the Army, the U.S. Army. And man, we're blessed to be in the midst of people that have served and are currently serving. Amen. But the point I'm trying to make is this, is that James is saying here, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad. Why were they scattered abroad? Because of heavy persecution. Okay? Now, he's going to address something to them because you and I have never been in this deep of a situation. We have never been through a test like this where someone's literally threatening our lives to take our lives. Okay? We get whipped over the red light staying too long. We can't pay a bill right on time or something. We get whipped over something like that. But I'm talking about, there's a difference between someone saying, hey, I'm going to take your head off tomorrow. Paul was that way. He was a terrorist. The Apostle Paul, he was Saul of Tarsus. He was a terrorist. He would go into people's homes, Christians, and drag them out. He was the one that consented to the death of Stephen, held their coats while they stoned him. Okay? This is the kind of persecution that the church was going through right here. But he says something that will apply or be applicable to any test or any trial that you and I go through. Let's read on. Verse 2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations or diverse temptations. He's not, you know, being tempted to go off a diving board or something like that. But what he's saying, diverse temptations. My brethren, so he's writing to Christians here, verse 2, count it all joy. Let's say that. Count it all joy. Now, he didn't say it's joy, but he said count it as joy. You got a teenager, you count it one joy. You got two teenagers, two joy. Amen? Got a bill that can't be paid right now. I count that joy. Amen? Now, that's not joy, but you count it as joy. Let's read on and I'll explain. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptations, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Let patience have her perfect work. Amen. Notice in the feminine, let her patience have her perfect work. That you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. Now, there's something to say about that. When you let patience run its perfect work, it says you'll be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. There is a power to patience. Okay? Now, sometimes I've heard this many times through the years, and people mean well by this. And people say, man, don't ever. I heard one lady say one time, she goes, don't ever pray for patience. You ever hear people say that? Yeah. Don't pray for patience because God will say, that's wrong thinking. Amen. See, the fact is you already have patience on the inside of you in the fruit of the Spirit. That's right. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, long-suffering, goodness, faithfulness. Amen. All those fruits were deposited in you at the new birth. When you were born again, guess what? God put all those things on the inside of you. Now, they can be developed. It's just like when a baby is born, you know, he's got the fingers, the hands, but he can't drive a car yet. But all the necessary equipment is there. It just needs to be developed. When you're born again, when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life, you have love, you have joy, you have peace, you have patience. Find in Galatians chapter 5, verse 20 through 22. Love, joy, peace, patience. All those things are on the inside of you. It's a matter of releasing them. You're at a grocery store. The line's 15 people back. There's an opportunity for you to release patience. Instead of getting frustrated and wringing your hands, impatient, yelling at people, where it may be an opportunity for you to share the gospel with somebody that's in the line right there.
Amen.
Amen. Turn that curse into a blessing. Amen.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord. Or if your flight's delayed or canceled, give God glory because you're praying for protection, right?
Right. Amen.
Amen. Now, notice, it says, but let, verse 4, let patience have her perfect work or run its full course. That's a better way to say it. That you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. That tells me this is wonderful, that when we let patience have its perfect work inside of us, the end result is you're not going to be lacking for anything. Really, what is godly patience? Godly patience means consistency even when you don't feel like it. You're patient when you don't feel like it. Do you ever not feel like having patience at times? Oh, my goodness. Amen. But let patience have her perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking nothing. All right. Now, he's talking to people, again, that are in test and trial. Now, let's read on here. Verse 5. Now, again, he's addressing people that are in test and trial. He says, If any of you lack wisdom, verse 5, if there it is, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, it shall be given unto him. But let him ask in faith, nothing wavering, for he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. So here's the second point I want to bring out is this. When facing any type of trial, it's imperative that you and I ask God for wisdom. Okay? One of the reasons that you and I tend to get upset rather easily is because we're trying to, remember what the Lord shared with my heart? He said, Keith, the reason you're frustrated is because you're trying to do this in your own strength. Another way of saying that is you're trying to do things in your own wisdom. Okay? And the thing is, the Lord will let you get frustrated. But always remember this. He's right there, and he has all the answers to everything that you need. Are you with me? All you got to do is ask for wisdom. Just ask for wisdom. Amen? You'd be surprised how often the Lord wants to jump into our lives and help us in current situations. I was talking to a guy years ago. I was in a health club. I was trying to work out, you know. And I came across a fella that I had previously met. A younger guy that I had met probably a year or two before this happened. And I saw him. So we got to talking, you know, but I forgot his name. So we're talking, you know, we're conversing back and forth, you know, kind of catching up on things. And I completely forgot the man's name. He was probably 20 years younger than me. And while we're talking, I asked the Lord with him, you know, you can have a conversation with a person, but still talk to God at the same time.
Yes.
So he's talking, and within myself, I said, Lord, show me, what is his name, Lord? Give me wisdom. Show me, what is his name? And I mean, just as soon as you snapped your fingers, I heard these words, Nathan. Okay? And so I got to talking to him. I said, yeah, Nathan, yeah, I acted like I never missed a beat. He didn't know that, but I did. And I thought, wow, that was so quick. I said, Lord, see, the Holy Ghost doesn't forget.
Amen.
He remembers everything. And it just astounded me. I'm like, Lord, because I'm fishing. I'm like, what's his name? Tom, Bob, Ray, Timothy. What's his name? No. Here's his name, Nathan. Okay? Well, I was thankful for that. But as time went on, I remember one time I had, you heard me share. If you've been around any time in the last year, you probably heard me share this. But there was a time, one time, where I had a particular, this is back 15 plus years ago, I had this suit that was a different type of color suit, and I had to wear a particular kind of sock with this suit. Sounds crazy, but it's the only thing that matched this suit. I had lost one of the socks. Okay? So immediately I went to my wife and I said, Lynn. It's amazing how husbands blame the wife, you know. But and I said, have you seen that sock anywhere? No, I haven't. And then what made me more irritated, she said, well, did you pray about it? I thought, no. And am I the only one that's ever done that before? But she was absolutely right. She goes, did you pray about it? And I was a little bit irritated with that statement. But you know what? The Lord got on me about that. He said, she's right. Did you ask me for wisdom? Now, I had spent at least 3 or 4 days looking for this sock. I'm looking everywhere. I said, brother, you should have went out and bought a new... Well, I could have, yeah. But the Lord was teaching me something through this. He said, did you ask me for wisdom? She said at first, she was just parroting what the Lord said. And then the Lord said, well, why don't you pray about it? Okay, all right. In frustration, I said, all right. I said, Lord, I lost this particular sock, this color sock. Can you show me where it's at in Jesus' name? God is my witness. Within 3 seconds, a thought crossed my mind to look in this particular area of my house. It was there. There was some drawers, you know, and there was a big mirror on there and behind there. And the Lord, just this thought came to my mind, look behind there like it would fall down where the wall was, you know. Well, it was just a passing thought. There was no sparks flying. There was nothing crazy or no goosebumps. It was just the thought. So I went over there, reached down there and pulled it out. Blew the dust off it. And I tell you, I spent about 3 or 4 days frustrated looking for that thing, you know. And the Lord, it was like the Lord was saying, I told you. He said, you have not because you ask not. That's what the Bible says. You ask for wisdom. And so I began to inquire of the Lord. I say, all right, Lord, you know, if I'm missing something in my life, I'm going to inquire of you. I'm going to look to you. If you're going to the mall, pray for a good, close parking spot. Amen?
Amen.
You know, not park in the handicap zone when you're not supposed to be there and stuff like that. You know what I mean? I'm talking about legally speaking, you know. But inquiring of God in every area of your life, I can tell you this. This will eliminate 100% of your frustration if you start to turn to God. Okay? When you see, He's called the God of all peace. He doesn't have some peace. He's the God of all grace. He's the God of all peace.
Amen.
And if we look to Him, He will show us the path of life. He will show us which way to go, what step to take next, what to do next. Our problem has been as human beings, and I know from personal experience, we take it into our own hands and we try to figure out our future. We try to figure out, okay, how's this going to work? Mary approached the Lord about that. She says, He said, you're going to have a child. It's not going to be through a man. And she says, well, how shall these things be, seeing I know not a man? Remember that? That's a legit question.
Amen.
You know, women can't have kids without a guy. That's no new revelation. You know what I'm saying? But you know what the angel Gabriel said to Mary? He said, the Holy Ghost shall come upon you. Well, what was the answer to her question? The Holy Ghost. See, the Holy Ghost is a creator. If there's not something out there, He can create it. Amen? Bless the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
I remember one time I was preaching. We were assistants down in Texas, and we were, make it real short, long story, real, real short. There, we were teaching a class to new believers. We're teaching on healing. And I asked, is anybody here sick? Well, there's a few hands went up, and I asked them, I said, okay, what's wrong? And the one lady, or it was a guy, I think, he said, my one leg is about that much shorter than the other one. And I'm thinking, why couldn't this be a cold or something like that? You know? And sure enough, you know, he got up and looked down, and they sat in the chair and measured his foot. He put his back up against the chair, sitting down on a chair just like this, put their feet up on my hands, and sure enough, it was about that much shorter than the other foot. Man, I'm already out on the limb here. I'm teaching on healing, the power of God. And there was about 20-some people in this room of new believers, new Christians in Christ. We're teaching new believers. And I said, you know, we just taught on the power of God. We taught about the healing power of God. And I said, I want everybody to come up here, and I want you to see a miracle right now. I'm saying this by faith. Okay? I didn't have a word of knowledge or anything. I'm doing this by faith. And everybody circled around that person right there with my hand down there. And they said, do you see that this foot is shorter than the other one? Everybody's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. I said, do you want to see a miracle right now? And they're, yeah, yeah, yeah. And I said, on the count of three, I said, we're going to say all together in this class, I said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. Okay? So I did that. One, two, three. Everybody said, in the name of Jesus, be healed. And it just the whole place. And everybody kept their eyes open. The Bible says, watch and pray. Right? Everybody kept their eyes, including me, kept my eyes open. And that leg just went like that. Just grew right out.
Hallelujah.
And everybody's like, oh, did you see that? You know? And the leg grew out. Well, I'm telling you what, there was no small stir in the church after that. I'm telling you, people went down from that classroom upstairs while church was going on down there, and they were spreading the word like a wildfire around the healing power of God. And that guy was happy. That guy was really happy. When we approach God for our lives, the first thing He's going to do is He's going to give you peace. Okay? It's so vitally important to have peace. And if you're moving forward in a situation and you just don't have peace and you're struggling, you know, man, the first thing we got to do is we got to get in a position where we got peace. And that way that that peace is distributed to us is He gives you information. God imparts to you wisdom. And that's why it says right here, that when you face a trial, a test or a trial, the first thing He says here, ask for wisdom. Wow. Verse 5, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask Aunt Martha. No. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask this person. No, it says ask God. Ask God. But notice it says, let him ask in faith, verse 6, nothing wavering. For he that wavereth is like the wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think he shall receive anything of the Lord. A double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. I'm going to give you an example with this, what I'm talking about here, what he's talking about here. That when you ask for wisdom, it says that you're to ask in faith, nothing wavering. Now, wavering is a term that would be used like in the seashore where the waves are coming in, going out. You know, it's constantly moving back and forth. Okay? You ever been to the seashore before? You know what I'm talking about? The waves come in. It's been doing that for thousands of years. Comes in, goes out all the time, wavering back and forth, back and forth. And he says that when a believer doesn't ask in faith, he's like the waves driven with the wind and the sea. And it says that don't let that man think or woman he shall receive anything of the Lord. This person is unstable in all their ways. So when you ask God for wisdom, you're facing a test, you're facing a trial, and you say, Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and you tell him, here's the problem. I need your wisdom right now. So I ask in Jesus' name that you impart wisdom to me. You've done your part. You've just asked for wisdom. Now, at that very moment, you may not know what to do. Someone could come up to you and say, hey, how's that situation? And you just prayed about it, you know? And all of a sudden, you're like, oh, man, I don't know what I'm going to do. I don't know how I'm going to handle this situation. I don't know how I'm going to deal with that troubled child or whatever, this or that. You know what I'm saying? What happens is you just ask for wisdom, You asked in faith, and now you're wavering. Because on one hand, you said, all right, Lord, I have your wisdom right now. And then in the next breath, you're like, I don't know what I'm going to do. The way to keep from wavering, and we've all done this, okay? I've done this. We've all done this before. The way that we can keep from wavering is to keep the switch of faith turned on. You know what I mean by that? You keep that switch turned on. I don't know if it's still like this, but when I was a kid, you know, and when I went to school, grade school, they had these lights that were especially in the gymnasiums, you know, and there was a certain kind of light. I don't know what the technical name is, but they would turn the switch on, but there was no light at first. You know what I'm talking about? Those lights, and all of a sudden you would see a little flicker, another flicker, and then within 5 minutes they're all full blast, okay? So it's a different type of light. I'm not sure what the name of those are, but faith is like that. When you ask for wisdom, you may not know right then and there what to do, but you walk away from that thing and you say, Father, I thank you for the wisdom of God about that situation.
Amen?
Amen? I thank you, Lord, for your wisdom. Now, the wisdom can come in a variety of ways. The wisdom of God can come just by reading the Word. The wisdom of God can come through another person. A lot of times that's the case. The Lord will speak through another person. You'll hear a message or something that will just speak volumes to you about that situation. And you're like, that's my answer right there. Okay? And sometimes wisdom can come in the most unusual ways. There have been times, even when my children were small, I'm talking little, where God spoke through them, and I had wisdom about situations. So you can never put a limitation on how old someone is or what they look like, their appearance. You know what I'm saying? We tend sometimes, that human nature, we tend to categorize people. They don't look like I think they should look. They don't dress like I think they should dress. They don't do what I think they should do, but yet God can speak through. The Bible says he spoke through a donkey one time.
Amen.
Amen. Well, if God can speak through a donkey, that gives me hope. He spoke through an animal. Amen. I mean, God can speak through your animal if he has to. Amen. You ever notice how, like, in my case, you know, we got a dog and a cat, but I'm a dog person, you know. And that dog is always happy to see you. I'm telling you, he's not waiting for your hair to be all perfect, for you to have the right outfit on. That dog just accepts you just for who you are.
Amen.
Happy to see you. I mean, you might leave the room. 5 minutes, you come back, he's wagging his tail again. He's happy to see you. Amen. The Bible says that wisdom crieth in the streets. She uttereth her voice in the marketplaces. Wisdom is crying all around us. There are answers for you and I. We just don't see it sometimes. But if we keep our ears open and our eyes open, I'm telling you what, we can get wisdom from God. So this is so important that we understand this second process here in conclusion today, is that when you're facing a trial of any kind, you ask the Lord for wisdom, okay? And you believe that you receive that wisdom. And you walk out of that place of prayer and you walk out of that place of agreement with God knowing that, hey, I've got the answer. Now, your mind may not know right then and there. I want to reiterate that again. Your mind, you may not know right then and there exactly what to do, but keep that switch of faith turned on. Lord, I asked you for wisdom. Now, you're going to show me what to do. Praise God. And I've taken many of prayer drives. I've put in a lot of miles on different cars in my life. Because there are some situations that are more serious than other situations, right? There's some smaller decisions that you have to make. You still need wisdom on that, correct? But yet there's other things, there are other areas in your life that it's more of a serious situation. You need some solid wisdom on what to do with this thing, you know? But I'll tell you what, God is so eager to give you wisdom. The Bible says that Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 1:30, Christ has been made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, redemption. Christ was made wisdom for you. Amen? All right, number three. When facing a trial, Here's the third thing when you're facing any kind of battle is number three, don't isolate yourself from believers. Go over to Acts chapter 4 and verse 23. Okay? There's something about human nature that when we face adversity in our lives, especially heavy adversity, we want to withdraw from believers. In some cases, we have pity parties. Okay? Anybody here ever have a pity party before? Am I the only one? Okay? See, what I'm sharing with you, listen, I'm talking about things I've been through myself. Okay? I'm not pointing any fingers. I'm saying, I've been there, done that. There's a better way to do it. Amen? But notice in Acts chapter 4, verse 23, and being let go, they went to their own company and reported to all the chief priests and elders and said unto them. All right, we'll just read that verse right now. What's the situation here? Peter and John were arrested by the authorities because a guy was healed. The guy that was lame, remember that? The gate beautiful, he was healed, right? He had never walked. He jumped up and ran. He walked for the very first time because the power of God went into him. Well, that's powerful, isn't it? Well, the religious leaders of that day didn't like that. They were jealous. They were moved with envy. And so they brought Peter and John in and they threatened them. And they said, we don't want you to preach or teach at all anymore in the name of Jesus. So, in other words, they're threatening their lives with this. Don't you dare preach anymore. Okay? Well, what did they do? And being let go, they went to their own company. Say, own company. What's that? That's the local church. They went back to their own company. Everybody needs their own company. Okay? There was a group back when I was a teenager called Bad Company. That kind of dates some of us, doesn't it? Listen, God doesn't want you with bad company. He wants you with good company. And the reason a lot of us got in our messes that we've gotten in is because we were with bad company. The Bible says that bad company will corrupt good morals. You hang out with the wrong people, you're going to do what they're going to do. You're going to act like they act. You're going to end up repeating the same disastrous things that they've done. Are you with me?
Yes.
Praise God. But when you face adversity and you face temptation, test, and trial, it says they went to their own company. Well, they were believers, right? Well, what did they do? They surrounded them. They prayed for them. Guess what? They got the victory. They got the victory. Are you with me?
Amen.
Oh, praise the Lord. Verse 23 again, it says, being let go after they were threatened, they went to their own company and reported to the chief priests and the elders at what they had said unto them. Now, we're not going to read the rest of the verses here, but remember they prayed and the place shook where they were there, and God answered their prayer and gave them boldness, gave them confidence, and gave them the victory right there. Now, what if they didn't have their own company? Amen? I love getting around church folks. Now, none of us are perfect. I'm not perfect. Lynn's not perfect. If you lived with us for a week, you'd find out we're not perfect. Okay? Amen? Those are shoulder blades back there. They're not wings. Okay? We're human like anybody else. There are times that we yield to frustration. There's times that we have issues that we have to deal with, like anybody else. Okay? But we know where to go. Amen? And we know who to join with and hook up with, praise God. Are you with me? So this third thing in conclusion here is this. Do not isolate yourself from believers when you face a test or a trial. Very familiar scripture. Go over to Hebrews here. I have two more scriptures I'm going to read, and that'll be it. But in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, verse 24, it says, let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. That's really good, isn't it? We're to not provoke one another to anger, but we're to provoke one another to love and to good works. Verse 25, here's how. Not forsaking the assembling of yourselves together, as the custom of some is, but exhorting one another so much more as you see the day of Christ approaching. Now, that's a beautiful thing because I see and I hear sometimes when people come in, all of us go through different things in our lives. But what blesses me and what I like so much about this congregation and about the people in this church is that none of us, we know we're not perfect, but I see a heart to help people. And that's this thing that so blesses me in this church, is that the people that are here, the precious people, you that are here in this church, you have a heart to help people. You really do. I've talked to people that have been visited in here and through the years, and they say, you know, the thing I like so much about your church is the friendliness of the people that are there. And that to me is the greatest blessing someone could ever ask me or say something to me that, it's just the kids, amen? One of the kids got in trouble. I jacked him up against the wall. I'm just kidding. It's a friendly church, right? Amen. But I see people without even orchestrating, and it's better if I don't even have any part of it. It's just a natural flow. I see people in the church, different people praying with different people, maybe before the service, after the service, encouraging people, you know. That's the way a healthy body is to function.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. You know, some churches you walk in, it's just, you have this look like, don't bother me. Don't even come near me. I just thank God it's not like that. Amen.
Amen.
Because Jesus is friendly.
Amen.
His arms are open to us. And no matter what a person goes through, no matter what they're going through, what their situation is, man, I'm telling you, Jesus, his arms are stretched out.
Amen.
Okay? Listen, I don't care. God's not looking for perfect people. I don't care personally if a person has 10,000 problems. I mean, that's exaggerating a little bit there, okay? Evangelistically speaking. But if, let's say a person has 25 problems, that doesn't bother me. Because if a person has 25 problems, but their heart is right, God will help them. But if you have a person that has 25 problems, but they have attitude issues and they don't want to receive and they're not teachable, there's very little that I care or God can do for a person like that. But I'm telling you, I've seen it. I've seen it happen hundreds of times. People might come in and say, I got this problem, got that problem, got a marriage problem, got kids problems, got all this kind of stuff going on, financial problems. But if they're teachable and they're hungry and they submit themselves to God, eventually they're going to get help.
Amen.
They're going to get help. They just have to walk it out. Okay? And that's what Paul was saying right here. He says, don't forsake yourself. He said, join together. Provoke one another to love and to good works. Praise the Lord. I was watching National Geographic. I think it's called Nat Geo Wild or something like that on TV now, all these different stations. And I was watching this African, it was about African animals, okay? And I just, something about Africa, I just really like, there's just something about it, you know what I mean? I love safaris and things like that. It just fascinates me, you know? And when we went to, back in February, we stopped down at Disney and went into the safari there. I was like in heaven. I was like, let's just build something here and stay here for a little bit. You know, it was just awesome, you know. But I was watching, and it was about lions and stuff like that. And it just happened to be that I was watching this. And it was about the African, the water buffaloes. You know, there's millions of them, you know. I mean, they're everywhere, you know. But they travel in herds and all this kind of stuff. And there's just millions of them, you know, and depending on where the water is and the grasses, they travel. But that is one of the lion's primary diets, okay? I mean, on the menu of a lion, the first choice would probably be a water buffalo, okay? There's some good meat there, at least in the lion's point of view. And but they were, you know, they had cameras everywhere, and it was really cool how they did this, but they were showing how that these new water buffalo were being born. And they were following the, you know, the rest of the pack and all this kind of stuff. But they were shown this one particular area of the pack of these water buffaloes. And there was a lot of young ones there. Now, over in this particular area, the way the camera was panned, you know, there was this a lot of green, lush grass over there, you know. But there was no buffalo were over there. And so this little, maybe a few months old water buffalo, you know, just a youngster. I guess he saw the grass over there, so he started to make his way over there, and the rest of the pack's back here for a reason. Now, what that little water buffalo didn't know and realize that right over in that tall grass are krauts, about three lions, ready to pounce on that water buffalo. Well, he didn't see it. That little water buffalo didn't see it. So they showed this on camera. This is a live shot. You know, this wasn't staged. This was a real deal. So that little water buffalo, he's probably thinking in his mind, why are the rest of the pack so stupid? You know what I'm saying? That's like a teenager looking at their parents and say, they're so stupid, they don't understand. And so that little water buffalo goes over there, and he's just grazing and just enjoying himself. And all of a sudden, that one lion comes out there, pounces on him. And then two or three other ones came out behind there and just jumped on him. And within seconds, that little water buffalo was dead. Okay? But if he would have stayed with the rest of the pack, he would have been safe. Would have been safe. Because not only do lions hunt those water buffalo, but I'll tell you what, those water buffalo, they're dangerous. They will attack a lion. If there's a bunch of them, they will come. That lion will take off and run. Are you with me?
Yes.
But see, there's protection in the right company. There's protection in numbers. You don't have to suffer silently. You do not have, as a believer, folks, you do not have to suffer silently. There are people here that care for you. Amen? Nah, there isn't, Brother Key. Yes, there is. There are people here that care for you. But let me ask you this question. Do you access that? Okay? There's an email and there's a phone number. There's a thing you can contact the church. Amen? If you're really going through something, you need us to pray with you. We have teams of people that pray. Okay? And you don't have to suffer this thing alone. We can get on this thing with you and come against the power of that thing and break it in Jesus' name. Oh, isn't that wonderful? And the last thing, I'll just refer to this because we are just flat out of time here, is the third thing when you're facing a battle in life is number three, is to speak words of faith.
Yes.
Speak your future. What do you want to see in your life? I'll just refer to this, but 1 Samuel 17, we see the Philistine Goliath was harassing the Israelites and so forth. And notice it says right here, verse 45, it says, "Then David said to the Philistine," that's Goliath, "you come at me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come at you in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defiled." Verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I will smite thee. I will take thy head from thee." In other words, he said, "I'm going to take your head off."
Hallelujah.
So David's teaching us how to get ahead in life. Okay. He says, "I'll give thy carcasses, the host of the Philistines this day, unto the birds of the air, to the wild beasts, to the earth, and all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." Now, he's just talking. He didn't do anything yet. A guy wrote a book, Mark Hankins wrote a book, said, "Don't ever run at your giant with your mouth closed." Don't ever run at your giant with your mouth closed. You open your mouth and you say, "I decree and declare in the name of Jesus." Amen? Now, the Goliath was saying, "I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do that." But that wasn't the last word. David had the last word. He says, "All right, I hear you. Now it's my turn. I'm going to do this. I'm going to take your head off. The birds are going to eat your carcass today. The wild beasts are going to eat your carcass today. That they may know that there's a God in Israel." That's covenant talk. He's speaking. Praise God. And so when the devil, don't ever let the devil have a last word in your life.
Amen.
The devil says, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to put cancer on you. I'm going to kill you." No, you raise up and you say, excuse me. No, you're not.
Amen.
I'm going to live a long life on this earth.
Amen.
Remember this, God has a 911. Psalms 91, verse 1. That's 9:1:1. It says, "He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty." If you abide in God's presence, that's God's 9:1:1. He will protect you. Amen. He will keep you. Amen? And you say, "No, with long life, He satisfies me and shows me His salvation. By His stripes, I am healed." You can't wear that scripture out. You say it, you speak it, you say it, you speak it, you believe it. And that's exactly what will come to pass in your life.
Yes.
Praise God. Hallelujah. Father, in Jesus' name, thank You for the Word of God that encourages us, that lifts us up above our adversaries, above that which troubles us. Now today, I thank You for a holy lifting of each and every person here.